It is Friday, and I am hungry. I'm hungry. And maybe you're hungry, too, for some eclectic knowledge, some favorite food hacks. Welcome to Favorite Food Free-for-All Friday. It's Council of Trent. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology, but Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. And so today, what I want to talk to you about are some of my favorite food hacks, things I like to enjoy with food, a little bit with cooking, a little bit with trying to stretch out food. This is something that maybe I started when I was a broke college student and has followed me into my life, which I think is also, you know, somewhat good for you. So that's what we're going to talk about today, the genesis for today's episode. So last week, I talked about my favorite all-time movies I just enjoy watching, and that was at a conversation prompted at dinner at an Italian restaurant. This same topic will come from that same dinner, actually, because here, so this is my first food hack, actually, which is prompted there. So we're sitting around as an Italian restaurant with friends who are supporters of a local Catholic school here that I also support. And we were eating, having dinner, and we had ordered our food, and I ordered a special sauce. Now, at Italian, by the way, this might sound like heresy to a few people, and I'm sorry if that's the case. I'm not the biggest fan of Italian food. I know. Some people just love Italian food. I'm not the biggest fan of it because I feel like a lot of it's, I guess it's kind of like Mexican food, right? Like, is all Mexican food the same? It's like some kind of tortilla, beans, rice, cheese, and meat, and a little bit of pico and shredded lettuce on it. Like, that's not real Mexican food, Trent. That's not even mole. That's just, you know, the standards that you go out at, like, restaurants or fast food places. All right. But Italian can kind of feel that way a little bit, right? You know, it's just like, it's just pasta and sauce and just different combinations of it. But I don't know, like, the pasta and cheese, it never really fills me up that much. So when I go to Italian restaurants, I prefer to get, like, some kind of a nice little chicken or steak. Something like that. Maybe it has a little bit of pasta on the side, but it's not pasta as the main dish. But it came with a little bit of pasta. So I asked the server, I said, can I have an extra side of marinara and an extra side of Alfredo? And he comes back and can I have an empty bowl? And he's like, fine. You know, we tipped him. It's all good. He comes back and I take the marinara sauce and the Alfredo sauce and I pour it into one empty bowl and I mix it together with a spoon until it gets to a nice pink color to it, right? Alfredo's white, marinara's red. You get a nice pink color. I've heard other people call this pink sauce, okay? And people looked at it and said, well, what is that? What are you doing? I said, oh, this is the best sauce for pasta because marinara can feel a little too sour sometimes and Alfredo can feel a bit too rich, like, oh, just like it's too heavy, but it's good. So if you mix marinara and Alfredo together, they balance out each other really well. They complement each other so nice. Kind of like me and Laura. I think I'm Alfredo. I'm just like heavy, like bleh, but rich in content. And Laura is like zesty marinara sauce. Oh, you'll never know what you're going to get out of this. That's spice and meatball. Apologies once again to my Italian listeners. So we balance each other out really well. And if you take marinara, give this a try. I'm telling. I first learned about this. Laura went to a Thanksgiving dinner with her family, and there was a chef, and he was doing a pasta station. He's like, oh, do you want pink sauce? I said, what's pink sauce? And he mixes them together. And I ate it. My mind was blown. I was like, no way. I can't believe this. So that'd be my first food hack right there. You can ask for it, but usually the restaurant doesn't get it right. Just ask for marinara and Alfredo on the side, a bowl to mix them in, pour it on your pasta. If you do it at home, it's also, you know, very easy, obviously, to take the stuff, mix it together. That's the first hack. Here is the second hack when it comes to eggs. Once again, another spoiler alert. I don't really like eggs. I don't really prefer eggs. I don't understand them. Like, why people, like, who thought they saw this come out of a chicken and they're like, I want to eat that. Let's break open that baby chicken. Well, it's not a baby chicken. It's an unfertilized egg. Except if you go to Philippines, there's balut there. Have you ever heard of balut? Balut is a fertilized duck egg. It's crunchy when you bite into it. So thank you, Intro to Southeast Asian Studies. It's part of my undergrad at Arizona State University. So there's also durian, this fruit over there that smells like diapers and gym socks, but has this rich custardy cream that tastes great. They say it's like going, you have to go through hell to get to heaven when you eat it. Now, there's actually signs on public transit not to eat durian because it smells so bad. So, anywho, eggs. I don't get it. I try to eat eggs. It never fills me up, really. Like, I just can't eat enough. I feel like it takes like 10 eggs to fill up my stomach like what two sausage links can do. Like there's protein, but it's not dense enough. The only egg stuff I really like might be like, you know, I try even like omelets, other things, like Eggs Benedict. Do I like Eggs Benedict? No, I just like Hollandaise sauce. I just want more. I just give me, I will drink that stuff. It's good. I'm not a big fan. Now, there is a kind of egg that I have enjoyed to zest it up a little bit that you can try. When you're making scrambled eggs, you know, when you scramble them up, everybody's got their tricks to scramble eggs, by the way. I don't know. Some people do it in a pot and, you know. But when you break the eggs up, I put a little bit of milk in it or cream. Some people aren't a big fan of that, but let's say whatever you do. But put one tablespoon of salsa for every egg into it. So mixing the salsa into the eggs that you've cracked so that you've got the egg batter already pre-mixed with the salsa and you fry it in a pan, it's actually pretty good. It gives the eggs a little bit of zest to them. I guess I'm obsessed with, well, marinara was too zesty. Alfredo takes it down. The eggs are kind of bland. Eggs are bland. Yeah, you know, it's not so much you can do with them. But when you put salsa into them and mix it up, tastes really good. Another trick with eggs is if you cook bacon in a pan, and when you're done cooking the bacon, you cook the eggs in the pan that has the bacon grease and the bacon fat. So, but I think it's good because when you're frying it up, also the little onions or little peppers in the salsa get kind of warmed up and cook along with it, and they sort of secrete a little bit more of the flavor into the eggs. So I'd recommend that, mixing the salsa together with your eggs to spice them up a little bit. My next food hack is don't use a microwave, especially on breaded things. I don't seem to like pizza out of the microwave, but that's only fit for small children or prisoners in a Soviet war camp. Like, it's horrid. It's awful. When you put stuff in the microwave, it dries it out. Like, French fries, don't even bother. Jim Gaffigan says they turn into packing peanuts. It doesn't even work. But pizza, French fries, a lot of meats, whatever it may be, instead of putting it in for 45 seconds in the microwave, just do 8 minutes in the oven at 350 degrees. It's just so much more rewarding. It takes more time, but it's more rewarding. It's just worth it. Just take an extra 7 minutes. Go pray a Divine Mercy chapel or something like that. Well, who am I to talk? I'm going to get on my phone and just like look at YouTube. I need to pray more, you know, if I'm in those little moments. I am actually trying to. You know what I just ordered, by the way, for our home? It should be installed by the time this episode comes up. I'll probably do a free-for-all on it probably next week. I ordered a home phone. Just a home phone, cordless, but a home phone. That way, when I get home from work, I'm also trying to get a phone for my office, so I can just leave my cell phone locked up in a safe. Come home, if I need to call someone, if they need to call me, call the home phone. Cell phone is just put away. Don't need to always be tempted by that thing. That's a non-food-related hack, but this might help you in life. Anyways, I'll talk about it more probably here in a few weeks, as I'm recording this episode now before the phone has arrived, so I'll tell you how that's been going. But yeah, just use the oven. What is the next one that we have here? Oh, healthy snacks. Get some healthy snacks. I'm trying to get healthier. I've been cutting some weight a little bit. It's been nice. I feel better. One that has been really great for me are carrots and guacamole. Just taking carrots. Carrots are a really solid vegetable. They're good for you. They maintain your eyesight. I did a previous Free for All Friday. They don't make your eyesight get better, but they will help it from getting worse. But just having like carrots and just dipping them in like guacamole. Hummus. Spinach dip might be a little pushing it. But honestly, I would just say it's better than like eating chips. You know, just eating, there's my notification going off. It's better than eating chips. But I still do that. I got gluten-free crackers, but I got to move away from that kind of stuff. Carrots, so guacamole, I feel like it's a good mixture. And honestly, mixing up vegetables and fats. Like to eat more vegetables, just cover that stuff in butter. Like real butter. It's actually good for you. As a disclaimer, Trent Horn does not give medical advice. And if you take his advice and you get sick, that's on you, buddy. But it's helpful for me. Maybe you'll like it. I know some people are really into carnivore right now. Some people might get really mad at me about this. I have a hard time understanding how only eating meat could really be a healthy long-term strategy. That sounds like more of a surefire way to get gout. There's a great King of the Hill episode, by the way, where Bobby gets gout. Why are you asking him, like, do you eat liver or vulture gizzard? He's not a ghoul. Bobby, how do you... Oh, he thinks it's a football injury, and then he's disappointed because it's gout. That's an old man's disease. Here's the next one. The thing I've tried to be healthy, desserts. Desserts will just kill you, absolutely kill you. I have a sweet tooth, a sweet spot for sweets. So at night, what I've tried really hard to do, I just get like a little tiny Tupperware, pour some semi-sweet chocolate chips into it, and that's it. That's all I can have. No ice cream, no cake. Who eats cake? When you're a kid, cake was something you got on somebody's birthday party. It's good to have cake. But you're an adult. You're like, I can have cake whenever I want. I can feel bad whenever I want to feel bad. Just pouring like desserts that are just not, like, instead of like reaching for a ding dong. I don't know if people keep ding dongs or Hostess bars or a processed treat or ice cream, like a semi-sweet chocolate chip from a bakery bag, but only pouring a little bit into a tiny, tiny Tupperware bowl, like a thimble almost, and just eating that, or maybe some pecans with it, or something like that, or taking cream, just taking whipped cream and putting a few blueberries in it. And eat a little tiny bowl and eating that. I think desserts can be okay for people if they're pure, if they're as close as food to food as possible, rather than being something you find. You know, when you go to the gas station, there's that one rack that's all Hostess stuff, the pies and the Twinkies. And, you know, maybe I'm just going to go do this. Well, I don't want to do this because I'm trying to get healthy. But it's always hard. Like when you were a kid, you went to this, you went there with your dad. You couldn't buy that stuff. You're always like, what did the orange? Not an orange Twinkie. There was that chocolate bar, the Z bar, and there was one that was an orange version of that. I was like, what does that taste like? What does the pink snowball taste like? I'll never know because I was never given permission to buy them. And now I can buy them, but I know I shouldn't because I want to be healthy. Or I could just wait till my birthday and just say, I'm going to jail tonight. Sorry, it's an in-joke from me and my wife. We watched a video about a guy who got in a fight at Disneyland. And he shouts and he goes, I'm going to jail tonight. So before we make a bad decision, like eating, you know, the orange cake bar at the Hostess stand, I'm going to jail tonight. I'm making a bad decision. Let's see, what else we have here? Oh, which, by the way, soda, so sugar. Sugar is bad for you. Soda is just liquid sugar. So, so bad. When I go out and I really am just craving one, I go for a Coke Zero because that's, you know, I heard someone once say to me and really get my mind off of it, you're not a kid. You wouldn't just drink liquid candy, would you? I'm like, no, except it makes me feel good. When I'm out, though, a soda water and lime. Soda water and lime, it's got the bubbles. It really helps kick the craving for a soda, and it's not bad for you, really. It's not bad at all. It's carbonated water. Just that is a good substitute. Mostly, a lot of times, it comes to bad food. It's just about finding passable alternatives to the bad food. Coming up here, what else? Oh, this is more just practical issues. When I go out to eat, to prevent from overeating, if I go out to a restaurant, I'll ask for a box right away with my meal. I'll cut the meal in half and put it in the box. A lot of times when it comes to being healthy, when it comes to eating, is just don't eat a huge serving. And if you cut your food in half and put it in the take-home box right at the beginning, then you eat till you're just barely satiated. You don't need to eat anymore. You're not stuffed, but you're at least mildly satiated. And you can just let it be. And then guess what? If you got an entree and it ended up costing you, what, like $18, $20, if you save it and you get another meal out of it, it's like $10 a meal. It's not that bad, especially if it's a meal you normally wouldn't cook at home anyways. Last one is, last food hack is marry somebody who cares about your health. I'm so grateful to be married to Laura. At the beginning of our marriage, she was concerned I wasn't eating enough. So she would make me these giant like bowls of like macaroni and rotisserie chicken. And we always joke that she fattened me up like a little dachshund. Like you overfeed a dachshund and they're waddling around and their legs don't even like touch the ground. That's kind of what happened to me. And then she got into things like other cooking recipes and other things like that. And it has been really nice. So, and she does her FDMP nutrition diagnostic work that's helped me with tracking what I eat. Tracking to see like how are my different hormone levels in the body, what different supplements could I take to balance everything out. So hey, if you're called to marriage, marry someone who cares about your health. If you're already married, invest in your health and invest in another person's health. You won't be disappointed. If you're having chronic health problems, by the way, look up FDNP, Functional Diagnostic Nutrition Practitioners. Laura will be mad if I get it wrong, but FDNP, that's always a good source to look at. Well, thank you guys so much. Go head off, grab some breakfast, lunch, or dinner this Friday, depending when you're listening to the podcast. And I hope you have a very blessed weekend.